I finished my school eventually, and then I just went full time this, and it worked out. So that's my life, basically.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by Gor Nation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is one of the most successful calisthenics YouTubers. And straight from the Netherlands, I'm super happy to welcome you to the show, Stan Brownie.
Thank you for having me, man. I mean, I'm super excited to be here. And I saw the post with lots of interesting questions, so I can't wait what you have for me today.
Yeah, true. It was a hard choice, really. It was the most questions ever that we received in an Instagram post. Like after 200, cool. I stopped counting. But yeah, I picked out the best ones so we don't have a 7-hour interview. Yeah, I'm super keen and looking forward to start. First of all, how are you doing? How is life for you right now?
Life is great. I mean, I'm super happy to be where I am right now. I mean, I'm in an insane sort of studio where I do most of my stuff for people that might not know me. I do like lots of videos online, and I love making videos, and I get to basically live my dream. So that's epic.
That's going really great. Super cool. And I think this inspires a lot of people because in the calisthenics field, in the workout field, there are not a lot of people who can say that and who are like who worked for their dreams and then it paid off. So it's something special. And
yeah, I mean, the calisthenics niche is kind of a hard niche sometimes. It can be very, very hard for people as well because you just have to hit the right audience. And I try to make it as broad as possible. And I try to hopefully maybe even, because at some point in 2015, there were not even maybe enough people for it to be a sustainable, like just what I do. Yeah, I try to create the own audience and try to get people excited for calisthenics and get them excited for working out. And that's basically creating my own audience. And that's been working.
Sure.
So like that.
And do you consider yourself as a calisthenics YouTuber, or how do you present yourself to somebody who's not like who doesn't know you?
I mean, I use the word calisthenics, definitely. That's what I do, bodyweight training. I think, yeah, YouTuber. And then I make workout related videos, workout challenges, bodyweight challenges mainly, or just indeed like transformations, helping people, motivation. That's the stuff that I would describe it. Yeah.
Okay. Really interesting. We will come to that later because I think the content type that you're doing is not the typical calisthenics content. So it's really well appreciated and special in this field. But first of all, let's go back a few years. You said 2015, so you're already in the game for a long time. How was your start? How did you get in touch with the sport?
With the sport, yeah. So I started YouTube in like 2013, and then I was making all kinds of videos up until for years. I just love making videos, and then I think 2015, I came in contact with like the insane videos that you get, like Frank Medrano, Corey Hall. You even had Brendan Myers, obviously, like some insane videos, and I was inspired at least by that, but also by a friend of mine. Some people might know him as the guy in the blue shirt, Aryan. He started a little bit before me and got me also into bodyweight training, calisthenics, and I was just hooked right away. Started taking it basically as my religion, and just started going for it 100%. And that's when I just was super excited for just creating videos about that as well. And that's how I grew sort of into this where I am now.
Wow. Super nice. And can you maybe go into your beginnings in calisthenics? Were you already able to do pull-ups in the beginning? Were you like a sporty person in general?
Oh, actually, I was always kind of fat, or I was kind of the fat kid. I could not do any pull-ups, no pull-up. I think push-ups were also very hard for me. Maybe not even one pull-up, one push-up. But I love push-ups, pull-ups. I just fell in love right away, and I just wanted to get that one pull-up. And I worked very hard for that, and eventually did that. Shared it on YouTube. Not really a lot of people gave a shit, but eventually they did, because I uploaded one of my first real big videos, which was like a body transformation 1 year. And I have to say, like, it was my life. Calisthenics, eating right, it just turned into my life like that. It came into my life like that, and it turned into my passion. And I was focusing on it like 100%. And yeah, that's basically how I built up. But I was kind of fat, basically.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting to know. Do you remember like the progress that you made in the beginning? How long did it take you to learn the first pull-up or the first push-up?
I think the first pull-up, as a beginner, I kind of progressed decently fast. I think also because you're losing weight. So mm-hmm. I tried a pull-up, couldn't really do anything. And then I kept really working on that, like really working 4 times a week, 5 times a week, working out, just a lot of reps, a lot of volume, an insane amount of volume. I can remember that I had my weekly just push-ups, which were a weekly, like I had 3 workouts a week, and all of those workouts had like 365 push-ups in there. Like just because I just wanted to do as many as I could. And I just, that's how I challenged myself. But I think pull-ups, it took me a good month for my first pull-up, I think. And then I built up from there, and then it went quite fast. And then I got interested in front lever and front lever. And then, I mean, I always say pronounce stuff weird. So if people are calling me out for that, I'm sorry for that. I'm from the Netherlands. And sometimes I have this weird accent going on, and I never got it out because I got into calisthenics quite some time ago. And I just kept saying those words like lever, lever. But I'm doing my best. Okay. But yeah, so I think I progressed decent. I didn't have a lot of knowledge. I just looked at like Frank Bedrano, and I was like, damn, this is what I want to do. And my friend, Aryan, guy in the blue shirt, he also, we pushed each other. We worked out 3 times a week together after school, got really put into work. So it was school, workouts, eating, homework, going back to sleep, nice. Basically trying to make some videos on the side. That's what how it was. But yeah, I think the progress was all right. And then we build up, and then we just progress together quite fast.
Wow. So in the beginning, it was more, you said the focus on the workout, and like video was something besides. So the top priority was workout, if I hear it right. Is it the same today, if we switch to today, or is like today something changed?
Good question. I mean, my priority for workout after I started growing like crazy on YouTube, for me at least, I mean, I was stuck on, I hit 23,000 subscribers in, I think 2015 or something like that. And then a year later, I was at 20,000 subscribers. So I lost 3,000 subscribers in a year's time, but I was still uploading 1 to 2 times a week. I was really, I like videos, but I lost subscribers. But then at some point I grew quite fast to 100,000 subscribers, 150,000 subscribers. And this is where I really, my priority when I started with YouTube 2013, obviously before working out, my passion was creating videos, and I just wanted to create videos. And as soon as I saw that was going well again, I kind of put the workout thing, I still did it, but I just maintained, which is not the best thing if you're just like 2 years into working out. Like you have so much progress still to do. But I was also doing, like, I don't want to, it's like sort of the high education-ish for school at that point. So I had a lot of homework, a lot of stuff I was doing. And I still had to, you know, graduate or finish my school. Mm-hmm. Kind of school, obviously. And then the videos, because I wanted to keep that up, and then just workouts whenever I had time. So I was kind of maintaining, but only 2 years of progress, you're maintaining a decent amount, but that's not an insane amount. But then after that, I got super excited again about working out. And now it's basically, I mean, I'm super consistent with everything, just super consistent with workouts, looking at my diet, I want to eat right. And the videos have a big priority as well. Like they are probably above workout right now to answer that question, mm-hmm. but workout is very important. I couldn't live without working out, no.
How do you keep the consistency? Like a lot of people asked about your motivation. How do you keep up the consistency, the grind?
I mean, just a lot of hard work and dedication. No, like it's honestly having the right goals, right? Sort of, it's kind of a mindset, because it took me years to get to that consistent level of working out and combining it with school and with videos. And as soon as school dropped, I just replaced it literally all that time with school. Once I finished it, I replaced it with more and better videos. So it's not like I got more time. So that was not the best move, but I love making videos. But the motivation, yeah, just came with trying to be as consistent as possible, but then also for 5 years straight and having the right goals. I really have goals in mind for working out, for what I want to achieve. I track progress and I set goals for hitting certain, for example, amount of reps, amount of sets, amount of weights, you do weighted pull-ups, stuff like that. And that keeps me motivated. I love working out. I love calisthenics. So that will always be an internal motivation. And then to make videos, but I mean, I think I was born with that, just to make the best videos. Cause, that's my goal at least. Like, I mean, maybe you find my video shit, but, my goal has always been to make a fun video or make the best video possible. And I never really needed any motivation for that.
Yeah,
so that's good.
So the right goals in mind and the hard work for it. That keeps.
Yeah, you got to be consistent.
Yeah,
and looking at goals for short term, that's sometimes works, but I would definitely keep it a bit broader than just I want to be here next week. For some people, this definitely works, but be consistent. If you put in the work, if you show up basically every single week, rather than showing up sometimes, but trying to hit something next month. I mean, if you say, for the next year, I want to work out at least three times a week, see where that brings you. You will make an insane amount of progress if you stick mm-hmm. to that. Like that will be insane. So that's how I would look at the goals.
Cool. Your goals right now, I know it's a really mean question, but a lot of people also asked about your current goals. Like, do you want to share maybe something specific for 2022 or like, I don't know, in what range you put your goals, maybe workout related, but also YouTube related?
So for workout related, I would definitely say I just want to get stronger, like obviously, but stronger. I want to hit a comfortable weighted pull-ups, which my all-time max was a 70 kilogram weighted pull-up. For some people might be nothing, for some people might be a decent amount, but I want to hit that consistently and get even stronger there, like weighted pull-ups. Front lever, I mean, that's always going easy, so I just maintaining that. But the big question, why can you not planche? That's probably, you already got that question, bro.
Yeah.
A lot of times, exactly. But no, that's definitely on the menu for this year. I mean, I'm definitely going to be spending a lot of time on that. I am right now preparing for a photo shoot with a magazine. So I'm getting quite kind of shredded again. And then from there on, I'm still training planche every like two times a week. And I'm maintaining it right now. I wasn't a bulk. I'm maintaining a planche, at least for me. I'm not the tallest guy, but I'm also not the smallest guy. So, I mean, that's not a good excuse because there are fucking big people that can actually do planches. But yeah, it's going to take some time and I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to put in the work and willing to do that. But there were different priorities before this. So literally getting the front lever, getting good weighted pull-ups, getting my push-ups up because I do a lot of these fun challenges, in my opinion. So they weren't really time-wise in my schedule, and didn't have a priority. But now I'm feeling motivated to get to the planche because I think it's now the right time or a good new skill to learn. So 2022, let's see how far that can bring me.
Nice.
With putting in the consistent work. For YouTube, I mean, it's always been just growth. But like I said, I want to make the best videos possible. And I think growth will come with that. And I mean, the main goal as in growth is I want to, probably lots of people ask like, how do you grow so fast? Or how do you do this? Or how do you do that? Yes, it's been a goal of mine, but if you create just like fun videos that you would actually watch or you would actually want to share with other people, or you'd really like be like, I think people will share this with their family or they will love this, then growth will come with that because people will share, people will like, people will appreciate the effort you put into videos. So it's just making great videos that tell a good story, a fun story, that are just good to follow, epic, and decently fast. Not a lot of, back in the day when I started in 2015, lots of videos were super epic, but that were a bit boring and long. I'm not too sure how long you've been in the niche or in the workout scene. I think for maybe some time already, but back in the day, there were some 15, 25 minute long videos, and you you really had to skip through the bullshit in order to get to the motivational part or the in the information part. And I think we've come a long way, and there's some insanely good YouTubers out there right now teach calisthenics, and I definitely check those out as well. So I think we've come a long way, but I just tried to make the best videos possible. That's the goal.
Nice. It's like I really can relate also when you drop the name Corey Taylor. Like he was also one of the guys I followed back in, I don't know, 2014, 13, something. And like he had super nice videos, and he was always standing like shirtless in his backyard, but they were like super long. And you really had to make notes and like summarize a video of 20 minutes to half a paper. But
exactly. But you want, normally you want that work to be done for you to watch you, because that's why you're clicking the video, right? But yeah, you got Fitness FAQs right now who's doing definitely his part in teaching people and giving the right information out there. So you got lots of them right now. So people who are starting today, there's no better time than starting today.
True. Do you know by any chance Frink's movement? Like he created two like completely viral videos, I would say, about the the problem with front lever was his first one. Like it's super nice with three.
Yes. I saw it in my browse features, and also in the guy in the blue shirt showed it to me. He thought it was a very interesting video. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's just something that I want to say. It's like he goes back, like his latest video is like was the work of 1 year, and it's like 1 hour and 20 minutes long, like nearly a documentary about the problem with one arm pull-up. He interviewed a lot of scientists and like also Daniel from Fitness FAQs, etc. Super interesting, super different type of content than yours, like just in a different, completely different way, but super super interesting.
That's epic. Good to see, like, now, because that's the point in time where we are. I think we're now in a, it's gone mainstream. Some people like it, some people don't. I mean, I love it. I mean, we're now in a point where we're really going to see high quality stuff, like some stuff that really makes the entire sort of community grow and give more quality to it, rather than which were also epic times, but rather than just the shirtless New York sort of street type of view that people could have of it, which is super motivating and super epic. Watch those videos back in the day as well, but now we're going more like mainstream, and it's for everyone, which is just fun to see. Yeah,
true. And it's a good way to give a lot of people a small entry barrier to the sport. So I think with your videos, it's really easy for a fitness guy, or for just like a gamer, adolescent, whatever, like a young guy, just to start with workout, and because he's motivated.
Exactly. That's my, I don't want to say exactly goal audience, but you nailed it there. I think I'm sort of creating, like I said, my own audience, but I hope that those people just join, working out in general. I mean, I see a lot of people joining, and then eventually they do a 90-day challenge, and then they, after that, they go to a hybrid. So they do a lot of weights as well, but they still get their pull-ups in. They do weighted pull-ups. They combine everything. Someone that watches a video of mine today in 3 years could be just working out for 3 years straight because of that one video. And I think that's super epic. And that has been one of my views the past 2 years. On making videos, and I think that's just a fun message to make people work out.
Sure.
Get active.
Sure. Nice. Coming back to the most important question of this interview, why can't you planche? Like, let's go into into detail about it. First of all, the hard facts, like how tall and heavy are you right now?
I am 83 kilograms right now, and I am 182 centimeters, which is 6 feet.
Yeah. Nice. And like, you're more the pull person, if I understand right, like with the front lever, with the weighted pull-up.
I mean, I like pull, definitely. 100%. I loved pull a lot more than push at some point, but I did a lot of push-ups as well. So it's not like I don't, but I definitely did more pull stuff rather than also handstand and dip stuff. Mm-hmm. Also because it was more accessible to me. I didn't really like my dip bars at some point, so I just had a pull-up bar And I had the floor, so definitely a lot of push-ups. But on the foot, and I could put rings on the pull-up bar, obviously. So you can have an entire setup and could do dips there. But obviously, I had very cheap rings because that's the things I could buy at that point. And I had just very cheap rings, but they had those rope sort of type of attachment. So the moment you start dipping, you just stretch your entire arm, and they're just completely dead, basically. But hey, I mean, I got them in, but I prefer definitely pull and pull skills. Yeah.
Get it. So planche, like what do you think is the main difficulty? Like you said, of course, height and weight is not the excuse nowadays. Like it's definitely something that is a downside, I would say, but it's not an excuse to not learn it at all. Like what do you think is the main thing that keeps you away from planche? Is it focus? Is it
focus? Yeah, definitely. Like it wasn't my focus for a long time, and then I got my focus. Then I got injured. Mm-hmm. Then it wasn't my focus, obviously, because of the injury. Then I was like, I think I said it on my YouTube channel as well. Next year, I'm going to go for this planche. I'm going to go for it. You guessed it. I got injured. Not because of a planche training, actually, because the planche, I was stupid. I did no warm up. I just went into planche. That was the first time. Second time, it happened during, I don't even know. It was like a weird movement, not even workout related. And then I had to rehab from that and came back happy with that right now. Don't really feel a difference anymore in strength, which is like since recently. But yeah, now it's on my, it's on the, like I said, on the menu again. But yeah, that's definitely, as you can see, a 2-year gap where, so in the beginning, it wasn't a priority at all. And then 2 years where I went up and down trying it, but just didn't keep people updated because there was no update at all. Cause I either got injured again and people are like, yeah, you got injured again, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't want to bitch about it online. Mm-hmm. Just continued doing other stuff. But yeah, we're now on a podcast, so now we can do that. And planche is, like I said, it's now twice per week on my training schedule. So I'm training it for just holds, more hands than push-ups in there as well, just like to show more shoulder stuff as well, which was not because I'm more like pull. But we're now talking about also from the start because I literally just do every single muscle right now, but my priority now is definitely more maintaining pull and growing stronger in push planche stuff. So that's my goal.
Cool. Do you see yourself participating in a weighted competition or something one day just for fun? Or
back in the day I didn't because I got I just talked to some people in that were in that niche, and it was really like an alpha type of vibe, I'm a better than person than you type of vibe. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's nowadays necessarily the case anymore. I haven't been in any of those situations ever really again, but I might, maybe just for fun here in the Netherlands maybe, but I'm really not the type of guy to be in a park really like shirtless and being like hard music, loud music. And that's what I had at that point. I was like, okay, so you guys are preparing for a battle or something like that. Yeah, we're going here and here. And I was like, not sure if I want to be anywhere near there. Okay. But yeah, no, I kind of get it. But I do definitely check out some of the battles online, and I check out some of the competitions and see how strong people are online and how PRs are getting broken every single year, which is just epic to see.
Sure. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your workout today? You already said like because of your injury it changed a little. Let's ignore the injury right now. How would your week of workout, how would your split look like?
I'm not injured anymore, so yeah. Which the injury happened more than a year ago, so I mean I already definitely more than a year ago, but it just took a long time for the strength to get back. But I've been back for like a decent amount of time. But the workout right now, I work out basically 4 times a week. My workouts are like an hour and a half long. I try to squeeze in as much as possible in that time to make it the best possible, because this is really the time I have right now for working out. which is also coming back to that competition question. Mm-hmm. I talked to those guys, and my life back in the day as well was calisthenics. I would want to do 5-hour workouts. I can't right now. Those guys, they are spending 5 hours a day to get to that top level. There's no way I can compete with an hour and a half, 4 times a week, with 5 hours a day. And they are that's insane. That's an insane amount of work. But I love calisthenics in that way as well. But an hour and a half, simply said, I have 3 full body workouts and 1 just extra skill where if I actually have the time, which I squeeze in most of the time, just some random skills, now focusing more on the shoulder stuff. Mm-hmm. So actually getting stronger in handstand pushups, planche, and human flag, which I also couldn't train at all human flag because of that injury. So my human flag sucks. Mm-hmm. But those 3 full body workouts, there's a skills day. There's a low rep day, low volume day, actually, and a high volume day. And literally what I'm talking about with skills, I'm working on the front lever, sorry about that, planche. Then I'm going back to front lever pulls. Then I'm going back to some more planche and shoulder-related exercises. So it could be literally like handstand pushups, ball-assisted 4 reps to get really lots of reps in. And that's a better warm-up. I mean, lots of people will probably relate with this, at least what I've heard. My 4th set of handstand pushups is my best instead of my 1st or 2nd. So I just do some shoulder work before, and then I go to freestanding handstand pushups, repping those out. Most of the time, like 4 to 5 sets. Especially the stuff that I want to train, like planche and stuff like that, like really put the focus on. Then I go to one-arm pull-ups to get, I like the skill and I love it. So that's why I keep those in. Then after that, I go to front lever pulls. So there's a lot of pull stuff again, but now shoulder stuff as well. After that, I'm trying to envision it, like literally how I'm just walking the same thing and just like, all right, last time I did this many seconds, this many reps, try to fucking beat that. Let's do it. And then sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. You have off and on days, but yeah. And then the last exercise is for my rehab still, I have some shoulder exercises that I do. And that's basically it. That's how I ended off. Just some extra shoulder exercises with bands, for example, or extra wall assist, handstand pushups, just to get even more reps in. But yeah, that's a decent amount of volume as well for a skills workout. And I do give myself like 1.5 to 2 minutes rest for some heavy stuff for people that want to know. Next workout, heavy stuff. Then I do weighted pull-ups. So I go for reps with 50 kilogram. I do that 5 sets. Then I go to weighted dips with 60, 70 kilograms. I mean, on and off day, but probably 60 kilograms. And then I recently went to 70 kilograms. Nice. Okay. And then we go to back to a little bit less heavy pull-ups, chin-ups, but still weighted. So between the 6 to 10 rep range. And I do the same for push-ups after that. Then on the heavy day, I do sometimes add in some, because I still want to get in some leg work. I do add some leg work, some explosive stuff, which I do once a week, legs. And I sometimes don't tell everyone, I add some deadlifts. Deadlifts. And to finish off, sometimes some bench. Those are the only 2 work. And I do that since 5 months now. I literally started benching 5 months ago. So I suck at it. I'm okay. And same applies to the deadlift. So that's also my heavy day, upper body, full body, basically, actually. And then the high volume day is what I just said, but then lower the weight. Mm-hmm. And do just a lot of pull-ups and dips. That's just where that's focused on, just breaking myself and until I can't anymore. Now, there's like 1.5 hours time frame, and I do track everything, but don't want to bore everyone with the details, but some people might be interested. I don't know.
It's definitely interesting. So you are somebody who tracks his progress, so he can see like the stuff, the progress from week to week.
Yeah, definitely. I track basically whenever the track is needed. So if I if I look at, okay, so last week I did in the same workout, I did, I know, 5 reps with 50 kilogram, or I did 12 reps with 60 kilogram dips. That means, I mean, it's a low volume day. Don't think I want to hit 12. I want to actually go for 5 reps. So I should higher the weight until I can actually do 5-6 reps consistently for four sets. That's the way I look at it. Build up from there. And that's been going pretty good for the past half a year now. Yeah.
How was your progress to coming to this workout schedule? Like, what would be your advice to somebody wanting to find out his own workout split, his own workout schedule?
I would say try out a lot of stuff, because the exercise you might have heard in there are very much the same. There's a lot of push-ups, pull-ups, dips, and some other basic shoulder stuff. You got these insane giants on online who do like 190 kilogram dips. All they do is literally dips and pull-ups. Like, that's their workout program, and they progress like crazy. They build an insane amount of muscle, and they look good. And they just probably supplemented with, if you look at the science, the right amount of volume, the right amount of sets, active work, active weight lifted, stuff like that. But it's finding what you love. So if you try a lot of stuff when you start out, and you try out a lot of workout related things, so you could start with push-ups, pull-ups, dips, leg stuff. Hey, this is what you like. The more you like something and working out, the more consistent you will be, and thus the more results you will see. That's what I've noticed with every single one I've worked with, and they just really had to find what they loved, and to create your own workout routine. If you start off, don't set goals like, I want to work out 7 days a week. For some people, they get insanely big, works, sure, but most people will fail because it's just too much. You just put yourself in a goal, you skip 2 days, and now you're done for the rest of your month or forever, because you're like, it's never going to work out. Start with 3 workouts, an hour long a week. That's definitely enough for a beginner to see a lot of gains and be effective. Just try out a lot of stuff, but don't just do anything. Just try to create some, there's a lot of basic videos online. Try to create some sets and reps, and start with your basic knee push-ups, pull-ups, bent assisted pull-ups, negative pull-ups. That's the stuff I would recommend to a beginner, and just start and see what you like. If you actually like what you're doing and where you want to progress in, because setting goals is what helped me a lot, especially finding back the love for calisthenics. Really like, all right, so last week I did 25 pull-ups in a row. I want to hit that 30 once in my life. So I'm going to go for next week, 26, the week after that, 27, the week after that, maybe another 27. But the week after that, I will hit 28, then 29, and then 30. It's not like next week I want to hit 30. It's really setting those goals and looking in the long term and just really tracking your progress. That's the least you could do. And then really find the motivation again to work out. So because you want to hit that goal, you want to progress. That's the way that helped me a lot. So, I mean, maybe it is, hope this is interesting.
Definitely. It's really interesting, like setting goals, not too unrealistic, put it into sub goals, a lot of useful advice in it.
I mean, I just gave 25 as an example, and going from 25 to 30 reps in like 5 weeks is not super realistic, because that's obviously percentage, like that's an insane difference, but it was an example. Yeah. So, I mean, for going from 25 to 30 pull-ups, if you say, yo, I want to hit that at the end of after 90 days or something like that. Yeah. I mean, just track it. Go for it and set some goals. See how close you can get. Don't expect to hit it next week. Yeah, definitely. That's my takeaway.
Cool. Do you still enjoy every workout, or are there workouts where you just force yourself to get it done?
I love working out. Like, I love it. It's something completely different than sitting in this chair and editing, because I do a lot of my editing myself, or working together with people, or do meetings. And I, like I said, I really love push. I'm a basic guy apparently, because I like push-ups, pull-ups, and dips, and I look forward to them and breaking the previous workout. Obviously, there are off days. Obviously, there are days that you either have a deadline and you want to get something done, and you want to really get it done, and then you just don't want to work out because that's the thing, or you just don't feel like working out, because those days are also there sometimes, especially when I'm preparing for a photo shoot or something like that, and I'm on very low calories, and I could be like, but as soon as I start working out, I'm hyped. as soon as I put on the music, I put on my Spotify, and I hear the music, and I'm prepared. I'm going for that workout, and I really want to make everything count at that point, and just empty my mind. Don't think about stats. Don't think about analytics. Don't think about this. Don't think about that. Just go for the workout and hit that next goal, basically.
Wow. Are you somebody who's more like what is your mood during the workout? Is it more aggressive? Is it more calm? Like, what kind of music do you listen? It also plays a big factor role, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Good. I mean, I'm not type of death metal guy. Definitely not. not my cup of tea. But yeah, I do like a push. I do like a drop. I do like. I think I heard some people listen to. What was it again? Some of these, I don't know, iCarly songs or whatever. I mean, no, that's also not what I like. Okay. Some more like, also not my style, but no, it's more like just some fun. I could listen to a top 40 playlist and do a good workout, but having my own playlist with some drops in there and some remixes. Yeah, it's I would definitely call it house EDM type of workout playlist. Yeah.
Cool. Nice.
But yeah, it's a focus. It's a focus mindset. So I'm not really like looking at that bar and going like, go for that next rep. No, it's more like, and then going for that and then grabbing the bar and just like repping it out, like, boom, going for it. That's more like the, so there is some aggressiveness, but not really like, I need to smack myself in the face to get the next rep.
Okay. More like the determination or something like.
Yeah.
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 Well, yeah, coming back to your learnings along the way, maybe also giving some advice to, I know it's always difficult to give general workout advice, but are there things that you can generally say, maybe stuff that you learned, stuff that you discovered in other people's journeys? What are the main mistakes that beginners do, like some general stuff, how you see calisthenics workout?
So we talked about some. If I think about the journey that I have had with lots of people during a series I do on the channel, which is like the 90-day transformation series, you see a lot of stuff that is very common for people that work out for like 2 years. That is, they obviously have no clue about. So you have to get into their mind. So that taught me a lot, and you see that they have no clue what weight differences mean, and they have no clue what mirror differences mean, and they just want to do everything perfect, but they also have no clue what's happening, so they just sort of don't look at anything. Simply put, what I would recommend to a beginner is don't put too much emphasis on the skill, don't put too much emphasis on eating 100% right, getting everything right the moment you start. Build it up slowly, but be consistent. Show up, basically do at least 3 workouts or go for 3 workouts a week. Start slow, maybe even 2 if you don't have any more time. But start slow, 3 workouts a week, full body, and get in enough food. Do your research, like how many calories are you actually eating before starting, around how many calories do you need? You could find it online. Not that that is 100% accurate, but it could help you. And yeah, if your goal is to lose weight and you're the first week you're not losing weight, don't change anything yet. Give it at least like 2 weeks and just trust the progress, basically. Don't overthink too much, but also be honest with yourself and be like, all right, I think my goal is to lose weight right now. I have been doing this for 2 months. I haven't lost any weight. Maybe it's the 500 grams of chocolate I eat every single day. Like, you got to be honest with yourself. But yeah, really enjoy the process. I think that's the main thing. And that's also what I try to have people take away from the videos. Enjoy the process and just get into it yourself. Like, really start today. And I don't care how you start. If you start with looking at my videos, if you started looking at someone else's videos, if you start looking at programs online, I really don't care. If you start today, I can guarantee that people in 2 years will say, damn, man, you got me into working out, and that was epic. I think that's pretty cool. And the only way to get there is to be consistent, because 2 years is a long time. It's not about getting 30 workouts in 30 days and then calling it a day. It's about 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years of progress. Some people have been doing this for like 20 years. So, consistency.
Oh. I'm interested in your viewpoint. You do a lot of 90 days challenges, and but you still talk about like long-term goals and long-term yes. Don't they collide a little? Like what are the 90 days about? Is it about to get starting, or like what is the special thing about 90 days?
90 days is I created the sort of 90 day type of view on working out, because you see that I started transforming people before I had any like 90 day challenge or anything in my mind. But I noticed that the first month they still didn't really have a clue what they were doing. Second month they started to learn a lot, and third month I could actually be like, oh damn, you already know that. 3 months was a perfect, like people say it takes 28 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. I noticed that 90 days with just a normal amount of effort put in is enough to see like an insanely significant difference in terms of how people feel, how they view themselves, and how they look. And that's why I started doing the 90 challenges to transform people in 90 days. And literally, I call it body transformation, but you see someone like transform completely, like his life, the way he looks at food, the way he looks at the way he goes, like just through life. With the people I've worked with, it's just insane to see, and it's super motivating. And I think 90 days is a good start. I will never say that someone after 90 days is literally going to be the I don't know what's a good example, like going to be the same as Daniel from Fitness FAQs, mm-hmm. or at least someone I'm helping them. It's so they're going to be exactly the same as me. They're going to be throwing front levers, and they're going to be gaining 20 kilograms of muscle in 90 days. No, definitely not. It's more about if you are consistent for 90 days straight, that's a long time. Like for people to, it's a short time if you think about it, but it's a long time to be consistent for 12 weeks straight saying, all right, I'm going to do this workout today. I'm going to do it this day. I'm going to do it this day. And that 12 weeks straight, if someone puts in the work for 90 days, definitely like that's going to be such a significant difference. And normally that's why I also, for certain 30 day challenges, which is one of my latest videos, again, I was completely shocked by his results, by the way. But 30 day challenges, normally the only ones that I would post, because the results are significantly, and I also show the process that it's not even better. Like I might look better, but I don't feel healthier, because I go from like, I lose 5 kilograms in 30 days to be shredded for a photo shoot. And I feel like shit at the end most of the time. And people seem to like that. But that's more about myself. But we follow people through the process. So I started the 90-day challenge with, I challenged someone. I posted day one. Then we went to his 30-day progress, which sometimes, I mean, yeah, sometimes the progress is not even that visible again. But then I'm always like, no worries. I mean, we also try to make people feel better. And you make them feel better already by showing them what did change. Like, hey, you actually doubled your push-ups in a month because you just got consistent with doing push-ups. And I mean, look at yourself, look at that bump you got. We show people on camera, like how he's now doing his push-ups and pull-ups and how he's pumping up, and then showing how confident he got after 30 days. That's basically the goal of those. And then we build up and help, hopefully people follow along with 30, 60, and then the results in 90 days, and they are always epic because we make sure they are consistent for 90 days. That is my goal. Like, be consistent after that. I think it should not be too big of a deal for you, because you have been consistent for 90 days. You will probably continue this, and they do so far.
That's really cool. It's really interesting to hear how you use all these buzzwords that seem like clickbait, like epic and shocked. You know, like I can imagine that it's like you are already like writing the titles for your YouTube videos. But it's nice. I feel the passion that you put into this topic, and that's really cool.
That's good to know. I mean, I guess if you look at the coordination, or just, I think you guys have a pretty deep audience as well in terms of calisthenics and all types of people. I think it's funny to see that the calisthenic spectrum is super big. Yeah. You got all types of people. You got, like I said, the heavy death metal, epic, insanely, like I said, I'm using these keywords, epic, insanely working out guys, and they are super strong and they can handle the world, and which is great to see. And you also have people who just started, And the calisthenics before, and at least when I started, I have no clue how I impacted. Hopefully I impacted it in a positive way. When I started, it almost looked like there was no room for beginners. People who have been doing calisthenics, they felt like they were on top of the world. Not the ones I talked about today, by the way, but there were lots of people just shitting on beginners with anything. And I was like, these guys are just getting into working out. I mean, this is what we want to grow the community. This is epic. People getting, I'm sorry, now I'm going to use the word epic even more. these guys, girls want to get fit, and it felt like there was no room for them. And I think I, 2 years ago, I kind of realized that. And I also wanted to get more people involved and just started making easy challenges to join, most pushups in 30 seconds, get on the floor and do pushups, bang them out, maybe post it on yourself on Instagram. And it's only 30 seconds, you know? I mean, maybe you can do two, maybe you can do, I can guarantee you millions of people tried it. Maybe thousands of people posted it, because obviously if you do one pushup, you're not gonna post it, but they did get active at that point. And I felt like that just wasn't there when I started. And I hopefully kind of filled that gap a bit. And obviously some challenges, it could be viewed like weird because you only wanna do these competitions, and you only want to look at these strict form competitions. I like to keep it as broad as possible, as easy as, except the more rules you start inviting, the more things you start introducing, the more complicated it gets, the less or the higher the barrier will be for someone to join calisthenics, the bodyweight training type of style. And I just try to make it as evergreen as possible, and I'm hopefully doing a decent job, and it's seems to be working. And now today I'm daily, because I've been doing this for more than like a years, daily I get messages that people got started working out because of those videos, and it drives me, even like gives me a lot of drive, gives me a lot of power. It's about drive, it's about power.
That's cool.
But yeah, I think I view the calisthenics world a bit more like that. I mean, I even got, there were lots of comments, like people saying when I started doing stuff like this, when I started showing myself as a calisthenics guy online, not even doing anything, just giving tips of what I did in the first year. I mean, I just had 1 year of experience, but people were asking me. So I just uploaded, obviously. And I had, like I said, I had 30,000, 23,000 subscribers when I started doing that. And there were right away, there were people from the calisthenics community saying, yo, I can beat you. I'm way stronger than you. What is your problem? You look, this is shitty. This is that. And it only motivated me even more to just go next level and grow like next level and just motivate as many people as possible and be like, yeah, this is a world for you to do as well. Get fit, get work, you know, get started with working out. And yeah, that's the story. I think that the my point of view. And I think lots of people in the, I do know some people in the calisthenics community, and lots of people do lots of epic content, and I hope people like my content as well. That's the only thing. I hope I'm also a bit appreciated in the calisthenics community, but let's hope so.
Super, super interesting view on the calisthenics scene. Super interesting viewpoints. It's really the, I see also as well the calisthenics community being split in a lot of different ways. There are the super strict athletes, there are the entertainment, like I would count you into the more entertainment, low entry barrier for beginners type of content. There is the scientific edge with fitness FAQs, Frink's movement, like
yes,
these kind of people. It's interesting. I'm really interested in how it's going. I think you're doing an extremely important job to get a lot of people into the sport and to show a lot of people the sport. I just know from my surrounding, from my family, even there are like my cousins who are like really big fans of you and who are like super insane. Interested in your videos, etc. And it's super nice to see, because they used to be more of the fitness guys, like just bench pressing, and you know, like you convert these people, and that's super nice. I think
what people should, let's put it simply, what people will hopefully can understand. And by the way, I wanted to point out, there are lots of type of channels right now. Like when I started, this is what I noticed right now. Yes, the calisthenic community is definitely divided, like you talked about, like we talked about, but there are all types of channels right now, and everyone is very, I mean, like I said, I talked to some calisthenics people in the community right now, and they are all super, like lots of them are super nice. But I think what people should understand is that my videos collectively most of the time get yearly like 100 million views. Those people, it's not like I am taking away views from Daniel, for example. I'm those people that are funneled into calisthenics with the basic, I mean, there's no scientific, or at least I sometimes do because I like some facts or something like that. And I'm interested in that and a lot of stuff as well. We do. I mean, I watch a lot of those scientific videos, but I not necessarily put those in my video. Like I said, it just overcomplicating something that is should be in its core, just working out, just getting fit. But those people just funnel back to Daniel, or funnel back to other people. They just start watching his channel because they are getting more and more involved, because they just, let's say I funneled them in, they're like, wait, I want to learn how to get better at my one arm pull-up, or how I should perform the pull-up the best way. I mean, I have an whole tutorial on my channel doing that as well, but there's a way better one from Daniel online, and they will probably check out his video, and that's just funneling through everyone. So I think it's just making the community bigger in any way possible, which is, happening right now. Yeah. So that's just how I view it, at least. Not sure how important my opinion is, but that's my view.
Yeah, super nice, super important, because the sport needs to grow, and it feels like the core calisthenics scene isn't growing that much, like as it could grow. I think this is why I think it's really important. Like, of course, COVID played a big role in the growth of calisthenics and bodyweight fitness in general, but it's super important that there are people like you, and I think this is why I'm super happy to have you also here in the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, it's super important to not only see pro athletes, not that you are not strong, like 70 kg pull-up, super strong.
I 100% agree, because like I said, I can't even compete in closely with these guys that are putting in hours every single day to be the best athlete possible. And I would never consider myself being on the top level of calisthenics in the world. What I do consider myself is I'm on the top level of creators in calisthenics in the world. Yeah. And that is body weight, but also just workout related stuff. And that is also my goal. I like to make the best videos possible, and I will never, ever say to someone that I'm way stronger than him or whatever. Yeah. Because I'm probably not.
So. Nice. Yeah. You talked about habits, like before we did this small, I don't know, we took this side road. You talked about habits, like 28 days to build a habit. What are habits that you like would recommend to someone, or like just habits that you like, let's go away from recommending. We don't know who's listening, but what are habits that bring value to you in your life? I know I watched your video with Wim Hof, which was 10 out of 10. Perfect.
Thanks.
It was really inspiring. But like, what are habits in general in your life that bring you energy, that give you power?
I would definitely say I'm going to do do's and don'ts. You just mentioned Wim Hof. I definitely recommend at least cold showering a few times a week. It just adds that I feel amazing after that, but I also feel like it's just that small challenge that you overcome, especially maybe in the morning, but also just throughout the day. Don't put the barrier too high. Just like whenever you feel, I sometimes feel like I want a cold shower, and then you go get a cold shower, get through that. Good. I mean, it's just an extra challenge. And I mean, with all the proven benefits, just a no brainer in my opinion. Another don't, for example, is for some people, the 5 a.m. If you don't need to wake up at 5 a.m. And you don't want to, don't do it. I mean, this challenge is super viral, but people that work out a lot obviously know sleep is important. So if you're going to wake up at 5 a.m., that means you just have to go to bed a lot earlier if you want to hit your 8 hours in bed, 7 hours at least of sleep, right? So that's the thing. It's just moving that pattern a bit. And if your pattern has to be at 5 a.m., I mean, then you go get up at 5 a.m. because that's, unfortunately, if you don't like it, your pattern, maybe for work, because lots of people have to get up at 5 a.m. for work. But if you don't have to, Get up at 6, 7, 8. But yeah, I mean, don't go to 10 hours of sleep a day. At least personally, because then productivity goes down a lot, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, so you don't have to wake up at 5 a.m. That's another recommendation in terms of if you don't like it. But some people, another recommendation would also be go give it a try if you really want to, because some people experience lots of benefits by waking up at 5 a.m. By having an increased productivity rate or having an increased motivation rate even, because they are ahead of schedule, they are ahead of the world. So that's how you could view it as well. So that's a do's and don'ts. And in terms of any other, like we already talked about workout so much, just like 3 times a week workout, that's something I would recommend with these three recommendations ish. Like workout 3 times a week, try that for 90 days and see what happens. And you will be shocked by the before and after picture. That's just how I would always motivate people to start.
Nice. You talk a lot about nutrition and you seem like more like health centric, focused on health in general. Like maybe I'm wrong, but maybe you can tell us a little about your nutrition, about your viewpoint on how important nutrition is for the body, diet in general.
Diet is a lot. Like it's, I don't want to say everything because I love working out, but you need to do both in order to get the optimized progress. But diet wise, I would say the cliche, what you put in is what you get out of it. So I really put the emphasis on hitting my protein, eating enough vegetables, eating enough fruits. I mean, the common things, common knowledge most of the time. I don't care about, and people who do completely fine, but I don't do keto, or I have done a lot of intermittent fasting back in the day, like a lot. Mm-hmm. But I love my breakfast. Also kind of proven with benefits to have breakfast for some people. I really like it. I 90% of the time, 95% of my diet is like healthy foods. It depends on how you, for example, would categorize supplements in any way. I do eat protein bars and stuff like that. Probably people always ask me, are supplements necessary? Supplements are just a very great way to supplement your diet in terms of getting your protein in easy. Do you need them? Definitely not, because you can also get in enough protein eating, for example, tuna, or you eat lots of nuts, because you can also, I mean, you want to get your calories in. Salmon, lots of stuff like that. But that can get very expensive as well. Supplements are for me easy. Get a protein shake in, get a protein bar in, get some protein pancakes in, stuff like that. It's just very high protein based, but also low calorie sometimes, which I need for when I go for a magazine shoot or something like that, mm-hmm. like I'm doing right now. But yeah, supplements in general help me a lot. But in terms of diets, I eat a lot of, just healthy meals, okay. Filled with, I mean, it could be lots of vegetables, could be wraps with avocado, and I do eat meat. Best friend Arian, guy in a blue shirt, he is plant based, so he basically eats nothing with meat, and eats basically just plant based. That's the term. He's super consistent. He's super healthy as well. He's also super inspiring. In terms of rethinking sometimes your diet, and he's doing an amazing job as well. So that's basically how I view diet, and I definitely take it seriously.
That's cool. Do you think it's what do you think of the athletes? I don't want to like get into judgment or something, but I think the audience is getting a lot of like athletes saying that you can eat whatever you want if you just work out right. You can eat whatever you want. I guess you also heard it once or twice.
Is that more like if it fits your macros, or more just in general, like if you eat whatever but work out a shit ton? I think where they're coming from, and by the way, it is not even that. If you get rid of the diet part, where shitty stuff that you put in is shit for your body, for your health in general, if you get rid of that, because that doesn't matter for muscle growth, for example, let's say, then they are kind of right. If you work out those 3 hours a day, you burn so much calories that if you eat a shit ton, you will also get in enough calories to build muscle, and you will probably still look shredded, which is most of the time what calisthenics is known for, by being just 5% body fat and just super lean. Yes, you can get that by eating whatever you want if you work out and do, if you have a decent metabolism, and if you work out that much and burn that many calories. I think it's kind of true. But is it optimized also for health reasons? I don't think so, in terms of optimizing with getting enough fruits in, getting enough veggies in. I would 100% recommend that to everyone over just eating whatever you want. But can you get results by eating whatever you want? Yeah, definitely. But I still would recommend eating your macros and micros.
Yeah. Nice. Question from the community. Deep question, maybe. Do you have any regrets right now?
Oh, sick. Any regrets? Any regrets? no regrets. That's a tattoo on my leg says that. You know that picture? No regrets. It's an epic picture. No, oh, I don't have a tattoo. It's, no regrets. No, okay. It's such a deep question indeed. I kind of don't. That may sound maybe weird, or maybe it doesn't. Do I have any regrets? I probably do, actually, but I can't, on the top of my head, I can't think of one. I mean, the only thing I'm thinking of is like I finished my school eventually, and then I just went full-time this and it worked out. So that's my life, basically. Literally. I mean, that's my life. Yeah.
Okay.
No, not really.
Maybe regret is a big word. Like maybe switching back to the first YouTube video, to starting to work out, like what would you do differently with the knowledge of today? Maybe that's the better question. Like that's a big thing, but maybe you can tell something about this.
Good, but then I think okay. Let me answer that question. So if it's about regrets in that way, you could say maybe with the knowledge you have right now, you want to make better videos. You could use the knowledge and the analytics I have right now to make those better videos. That could. But on the other hand, I would probably want to do that because those videos would be more optimized. They would maybe have performed better. Better growth, blah blah blah. But I also do believe in the path that I've taken so far, and all the mistakes or all the learning curves and all everything I've experienced is why I am where I am right now. Yeah. Or how I got where I am right now. And I wouldn't really take anything away from that. So not go back in time and try to fix something that does not necessarily need to be fixed because I'm in a good place right now. So I think that's my take on that. So maybe that also clarifies why I don't really have any regrets. But yeah,
that's good. But like that's why you look so young. That's why you look so good, because you don't have any regrets that are eating you inside. You are a happy soul. So yeah.
when the cameras are like, thank you for the podcast.
Shit.
No, I mean. I don't have any. I'm also kind of a boring person in terms of how people would describe it, maybe. Like I don't drink, never have. I don't go to parties, never really have. I don't, like I said, my life is videos, making videos, and then also working out now, which is obviously sounds epic, and it is. And I'm happy with where I am right now, and super thankful. But I regret that one time that I jumped off a roof because I was completely wasted or something like that. No,
okay.
It didn't happen because I've never drinking. So I mean, yeah, like I said, maybe it's boring or I don't care, but yeah, that's my, yeah.
Okay, cool. Weird. Let's continue talking about injuries. Like maybe you talked about an injury like a year ago or something. Injuries in general, did you have severe injuries and what did you learn from them?
I think my main takeaway from injuries is that at some point I injured my shoulder because just not enough warming up, not just being young, being like 17 years old and being like, I want to get that planche. I was getting close. You can actually see an old video of mine where I try to do a planche and I'm actually kind of close. Like if you give me another year of training, I would get to a perfect straddle planche, basically. But literally a month after that video, I think, or maybe a bit later, but I got injured on my shoulder just because I didn't warm up. My wrist started hurting like crazy, but my shoulder started hurting like crazy. And I got that sort of figured out with the physiotherapist. But what I learned from that is just take your time. Don't rush the process, and definitely make sure to, especially for the planche or front lever stuff, heavy stuff, what feels heavy for you right now, definitely warm up. I mean, if someone asks, can you do a set of pull-ups, make sure to warm up. I mean, I don't care, but for someone that has never done more than a pull-up, I mean, yeah, warm up, because you're going to use a lot of that muscle. You're going to lose a lot of you're going to use a lot of those muscle fibers. So you're going to really be putting in the work, so you can definitely get injured. Yeah, I think that's my main takeaway. And besides that, I had injuries, but those are related to football. I still play football, soccer.
Nice.
And I got injured on my knee sometime, which just sucked. And then you're just out for a bit. And then that sucks for leg training as well. I do have to say leg training has been actually the biggest. I mean, I'm happy with my legs. Like, they're decently sized, so you will never hear me. But they're not extremely strong. They're not extremely – but I play football, especially back then, but right now, like, 3 times a week. And I combined that with just 1 leg training a week. So it's not like 2 leg trainings a week. I just don't want to do something leg related 5-6 times a week, because then I would feel exhausted the entire time. Yeah, I love football, but it does, I started playing in a team, which is only friends, and it's quite a low level, so some people might be a little bit not so good at it, and then just like they just fuck you up because they can't play football. And I got injured because of that actually last month, so I'm coming back from that, and my ankle was just completely swollen up, and it still is, but I'm kind of back now, and that's good. But it's part of it. I don't want to stop football because of that, because it could hurt. Some people around me are like, hey man, you do YouTube quite big, right? If you get injured pretty badly, doesn't that suck for everything? And I'm like, yeah, but I like it, and it's a good way of cardio, so I stay away from getting fat again. Big brain. So that's the thing. No, but for real, I like football, and yeah, it brings some injuries sometimes, but you can't really learn anything from that. That's also my main point. It just happens. Maybe my takeaway should be stop with playing football and just do more cardio just outside running. But no, I like football. Also, again, if you love what you're doing, football, it does never feel like cardio, but I'm burning like 1,000 calories a session. Getting shredded is easy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah.
Nice. So same thing again, if you set like goals that motivate you, if you do stuff that you like, you stick with it. Consistency is easy with it. Like this is something that I took away from the interview. And maybe if we redo the interview in 5 years, you will say, damn it, I should have stopped with football. But we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I might just say that that's a very realistic thing. But yeah.
We'll see. It's fun. I love it as well. So, yeah.
You play it as well?
Just with friends, just in summer as well. But last time I was on the pitch, my best friend also hurt himself quite badly on the knee. So it's always like, if you play with people who just play like on the weekends for fun, it's dangerous. So
yeah.
It's definitely, you have to take the risk.
Always someone injured in my team, so that just shows that I was glad I haven't been injured in like 2 years before that in my leg. So I mean, nice, but yeah, definitely true.
Nice, yeah. We're slowly coming to an end of the interview. We always have some quick questions, quick answers at the end of every interview. First one,
fire.
First one, favorite food.
What do I like eating a lot? Oh, I want to answer quickly. Jesus. Can I say something? Can I say something unhealthy? No.
Yeah, of course. Frikandel. No,
I'm freaking out. That is is that known worldwide?
No, I'm living in Germany, close to the Dutch border. Like this is why we spend exactly. Like every holiday, like everybody here around here is going to the Netherlands to the sea.
Frikandel,
so
this is
Frikandel. So yeah.
No, those are like fried stuff. No, I do like spare ribs or something like that. But healthy foods, I mean, a good My favorite food that is actually healthy is like a good chicken, rice, and broccoli. That sounds so bad, but mm-hmm. if you have a good dressing and you have some rice cooked in the right type of spices or whatever, mm-hmm. And you add some steamed broccoli or steamed veggies, and you mix that together, I love eating that. Like, I just enjoy it. That's going to be my dinner tonight.
Nice. I see the glance in your eyes. So yeah, I really feel the passion. That's cool.
The passion about my rice, chicken, and broccoli. Yes.
Broccoli, yeah, man. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Cat.
Cat. Okay.
I mean, I've three cats at the moment. At least in my family, we have three cats now. So
cool. Good for you. The title of your first YouTube video.
Holy shit! I think it's. I know exactly what it's about. It's a Happy Wheels play. So I used to game. My channel was a gaming channel back in the day. It's a Happy Wheels playthrough game, like not heavily inspired by PewDiePie or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, because I think your YouTube link or something, like there is this one thing you can't change. I think it's the link of the YouTube video.
Slash Brownie does work, but you probably see Epic Steam.
Yeah. And like, I was just the epic again. I think we have to call this, interview epic. Like it was, I think the word that was used the most, but epic seems to be your favorite word. No,
actually, if I look at my channel right now online, you can, there's only one video that is online. It's like a sort of reaction game, the maze game. You can see that. Mm-hmm. But my first ever video apparently is not online anymore. I think I privated it years ago because I thought, I am too mature for this content. I was like, I don't know, 18 or something. Mm-hmm. But if I put it online right now, I'm afraid that people will get a notification because this happened before with big YouTubers. So I don't put it online, but otherwise I would just put it online.
Okay.
But yeah.
Nice. Notifications being sent out to 1.8 million people with this video. That would be cool.
I think I don't have 1.8 million subscribers after that notification. But
you're back to 23 then.
23. Yeah. Exactly.
Nice. What athletes inspire you? Like, doesn't have to be calisthenics, but what athletes in general are inspiring you?
I would definitely say that just seeing how some athletes, I follow a decent amount of athletes, actually. I follow a lot of different types of athletes online, and my Instagram feed sometimes definitely motivates me, and sometimes obviously you should not compare yourself too much, but it most of the time just motivates me, and also stories, seeing how much effort people put in at the moment. But what kind of athletes specifically motivate me at the moment? Cool.
Checking the Instagram bubbles, which name is
last one? the one on top right now is Stipke. Nice. There you go. That's definitely also putting in the hard work, always in his story. I like some funny videos from a guy, Beck Guy, also awesome guy. Shout out to him. He does weights, but he definitely posts some good memes and is also putting in the work. Just lots of athletes. I think most athletes would be surprised, maybe, but I know a lot of calisthenics athletes, I think, and I just follow a decent amount and just see them pop up and I'm like, yeah, epic. Again, epic.
Epic.
You brainwashed me to use it even more, I think. I'm sorry for everyone for the insane amount of usage of the word epic. I apologize, but also I don't, because it's just an epic word. There you go.
Nice. What would you choose? Rather best skills or the best body? The best physique?
Oof. Is there also a but? Is there also like if you have a... So you have a decent body and the insane skills, or you have decent skills and insane body?
Either you're completely fat and you can, but you can do some LTs.
Which you can planche. I can finally planche. No. No, I think I would go for physique, but that would mainly just be because of I'm also doing YouTube, and I don't think lots of people will click a lot of videos with just a bad physique in that. But otherwise, what I like mainly about calisthenics is generally the skills and the training for that. So maybe without YouTube, I would have gone for that one.
Okay. If you could unlock one calisthenic skill, whatever
planche.
Okay. So the
I mean, it's kind of gotten. I mean, it's. I'm not sure how many people are talking about this, but I think on the channel mainly, not even everyone is talking about it. But back in the day, it's kind of a meme now. Like, hey, Brownie, oh, cool guy, can't planche, but something like that. I think yeah, planche then to fulfill the meme. Let's just do planche. Cool. Yeah, I mean Maltese, obviously steak. Maybe the Baki crazy stench from Andrea La Rosa, his version was insane. We're making a video right now on that skill as well. Cool. It's gonna be pretty fun with some edits in there. Just a secret. That's epic. That would be epic to be that insanely strong. I don't even think that's realistic for someone with my size, but he's insanely strong.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite book?
I don't read a lot, honestly. Like I just don't read a lot. I watch a lot of movies, and I do have some I definitely read some books, but they are some of these cliche books like Think and Grow Rich, and I was like, cool. I just read them, and I definitely understand them, and I definitely feel like there is some fun and some good takeaways there, but I'm not really a religious promoter of definitely read Think and Grow Rich or definitely do this. But for some people, might definitely be a good book or definitely be a good book to just read biographies from people you like or your people you find that, like, how are they even... Because that's what I'm interested in right now. It's a lot. I mean, I have no clue how people view what I do from the outside, but there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of people working with me, together for me. We're working, but there's a lot of people involved. How they manage all what they do, everything. So, for example, Elon Musk, the amount of stuff that guy does, obviously, is insane. So I read this biography. So like stuff like that. That's what I read sometimes, but... No, I'm more like a movies guy. If I, like I said, I like making videos. I like making movies.
Nice. So next question, what's your favorite film? Movie.
Favorite film. Maybe favorite movie. You don't want to put things on the spot. I think story-wise, I really liked Interstellar, and also visually and my experience in I think it was IMAX and the amount of sound, the sound system. Everything was just extremely well done. I like Inception as well. You can already hear I'm a Christopher Nolan fan. Nice. Then I thought Tenet was pretty damn good as well. There were some funny memes about that online. I don't think it's in my top X amount of movies, but I just, there you can see I'm a Christopher Nolan fan. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those movies are definitely just because I like stories. I like writing. I like creating a storyline for people to follow through a video. I never record and then just edit chronologically and click upload. There's always a writing process and always trying to guide people through emotions or whatever. And obviously sometimes it's hard because you're making workout videos, but I think that's the fun challenge. If you can make people feel things with a workout video, that's epic. Fuck's sake. Fuck that word. Now I'm starting to rethink my usage of that word. I'm gonna stop using that forever.
No, you won't.
But no, yeah, I won't.
Yeah. Last question, basically. What's your message to the Calisthenics community? What's the message to the audience of this video?
Go subscribe to Gore Nation, but smash link. No, I think the main takeaway message is I hope everyone is just appreciative of everyone that joined the community and just be nice, like do your thing and welcome everyone in what they do. Support them. Don't see people as enemies. Don't see people in that type of way. And just, you know, make everything just go for it together. And I think that's a message maybe to the calisthenics community.
Epic. Cool. No, but honestly,
I'd really to good, say you.
Yeah, really, really good thing. I think also that's really important for the growth of our sport. So thanks for taking the time. last question, maybe a little obvious for you, but how can people get in touch with you? Where can they find you? Maybe get in touch with you. It's a little bit more difficult. We had a lot of questions. Why doesn't he answer my DMs? Like,
did you get a lot of questions?
Yeah, like
that.
A lot of people like ask maybe why doesn't he answer my Instagram DM? But I can imagine like, how can people find you?
If you want to really get in touch, like direct message, I try to read everything. And I'm not even the biggest on Instagram close or in calisthenics at least. So I have no clue how these guys are doing it, but my, the amount of direct messages I get is literally during this podcast, I probably already have to scroll so far down. It's impossible for me. So I'm sorry for people to not reply, but I do try to read a lot of comments as well and direct messages and definitely comments on posts of, that's where you can get in touch. But where you can find me is YouTube at Brownie and Instagram Stem Brownie, and most platforms just Stem Brownie if you want to check that out.
Nice. Perfect. Then thanks a lot for your time again. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me, man. It's a great I just think it's a great opportunity to be here, and I hope people enjoyed the podcast. I hope there was a little bit of value in there, and hope maybe some entertainment as well.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Thanks for being here. Thanks everyone for listening to this till the end, and have a great day.
So much like, subscribe, hit bell.